All right. Welcome to the Daily Journey podcast. I'm Scott Pontier. Thanks for joining us for conversations between two people about the daily journey of living life in a pandemic. And, you know, I love doing this podcast. A lot of times our conversations go very far afield from current events and things like that. So thanks for joining us today. If you haven't, you can subscribe to our podcast. Just search Jamestown Harbor Church on whatever podcast app you choose. Or you can go to our website, jamestownharborchurch.org, and find the Daily Journey series under our sermon page. Today, my guest is Leah Hendrickson. And boy, what a conversation. Leah dives right in and asks some deep questions, personal questions, and does a little bit of counseling with me, which I appreciate. So, you know, just feel a little vulnerable on this podcast. I hope that, I don't know, I hope it, hope you still like me afterwards, I guess. But Leah's great. Leah and Scott, they've got two kids, and they've been great friends of ours. You know, I've known them for the, like, gosh, I don't know, probably about the last 3 years or so. And really appreciate Leah's perspective. Leah, this is a stay-at-home mom, but also teaches a bunch of yoga classes. So you'll hear us talk a little bit about that too. And I don't know. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think you're going to have a great, enjoy the podcast. We have a few little technical difficulties in the audio track, around the middle of it or so. And hopefully I've edited that in a way that works okay for you, but just giving you the fair warning ahead of time. So here is my conversation with Leah Hendrickson. Enjoy. No. So yeah, this was my question. In some ways, it feels like almost your life is kind of the same.
Yes.
Right now.
Very much so.
Yeah. Why would you say that?
We don't do a ton of extracurricular stuff just for the sake of having routine. Sydney requires a lot of routine. Yeah. So, I mean, other than her being away at school and now having her home, everything else is the same.
Yeah.
Everly was home with me. She went to preschool a couple mornings, but, and then I stay home most of the time and then just teach a few classes during the week. So just minus me leaving for a few classes a week and just having them with me more often.
But you're still teaching yoga classes.
Yeah, I am.
Right? Like, does that feel, I mean, obviously that feels different, right?
It does.
But it's like, I'm still teaching yoga classes, right?
Right. Yeah. Which is great. It's been great for me. I love that. I'm so glad that I can still do that.
But you have Scott at home now, right?
Yep. So he's still working a ton.
Yeah.
So I still feel like I'm kind of flying solo for the most part, unless it's like when I'm teaching and he's super dad and swoops in and keeps the girls busy while I do that kind of stuff. So there are times during the day where he can take a break and like go for a walk with us or do whatever, but he's been working a lot. So
what, do you stick him in the corner of the house somewhere and say like, dad's at work, you know, or what? How does that
work? It's kind of like chess where like you have to be strategic where he plays things. So normally he goes to the kitchen table and we are in like this little playroom, homeschool room that we have while we do homeschool. And then once we bail from that room, he can go in there and be in like quiet place.
So
and
he'll switch calls. Places
yeah.
with you.
Yeah. He's great. I mean,
is,
so
he on, is he on calls a lot or is he just like doing some work?
Okay. Both.
Both. Yeah. 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 That's I've heard that story from other parents too, right? Like, I mean, I was talking to one family and he like is like, he's in the school system. So he's at the school all day long. And now he's home and their 4 year old is like, but dad's home. That means we get to play. Right. It's like, no, dad's in the basement sitting at a patio table, like having a meeting and just leave him alone. And that's a stressful thing for a family to, there's too many people in the house now.
I know.
I even though for you, week, like the rhythm is the same, right. Yeah. For your girls and you, cause you've been working that, but
and I think that it was a little bit of that transition of well dad's not here, he's not gonna like he is here and he's not playing with me like because he's always the let's play, So the first week or so, it was a little bit of a transition, but then we've also kept to a bit of a schedule, not rigid, but I think it helps them to know, like, this time of the day is when you play with dad. This time of the day is when dad's working. So
you're a schedule family, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
I mean, you're a schedule mom.
Yes, I am. Very much so.
Yeah, we thought about that. And I might have said this to you too before, but like, that's like in the first couple of weeks, it's like, well, what's the schedule? Because we're not going to go 5 months with just like doing whatever we want. Mm-hmm. But that's really hard for us because I'm a schedule person, but I'm the only one in my family who really is. And if I'm going to make the schedule, then I'm going to go downstairs into my corner and be at work for 5 to 7 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. Their ability to implement that schedule is very low.
Right.
So
right.
Cindy like was like, what if we did it like this, where it's like, here are the objectives you need to achieve between lunch and dinner. Mm-hmm. You need to do X amount of time, like being active. You need to do something creative. You need to do something educational, right? Mm-hmm. If you do that, then you can figure out how you do it. And it gives mm-hmm. them some agency and just boxes to check. And it doesn't really matter when it happens.
Well, that's a great tool. And then it teaches them of like, oh, I still have to do this before this time. Yeah. But we are not in that boat yet.
No, and your kids are young enough too, yes. where it's like, the more rigid schedule. I mean, my kids are almost 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. I don't need to be like every 15 minutes. All right, now it's time to pick up your toys. You know, like that's not how it works. But
or like, hey, did you put your pants on? Hey, right, did you put your pants on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest struggle for us is bedtime. You know, like they make a convincing, compelling argument why we don't need one.
Yeah.
But also it's like, well, we want to be people, like healthy rhythms, I think, matter.
They do.
And there are a certain amount of time where I'm like, it's fine, whatever, stay up mm-hmm. late. But it's otherwise. And also, it's like, I want to hang out with your mom, you know, and not
definitely.
Have you guys around too. But
do some adulting.
Yeah. Yeah. So your challenges have not necessarily been, oh, my home life looks so different now.
I think that my challenges are still the same of being good at taking time for myself and not worrying about everyone else so much that by the end of the day, I'm like a grumpy, resentful, bleh.
Because that's what'll happen, right?
Yeah.
You're like
definitely.
So busy going, what does Everly need? What does Sydney need? What does Scott need?
Yep.
And then, oh yeah, I forgot about Leah. What does Leah need?
Yep.
Yeah. So how do you do that right now?
You know, yoga has been great for me. And it's even when I'm teaching, I still feel like that's for myself because I'm moving my body and breathing and doing something I love.
Yeah.
So that's 2 days a week that I'm doing that now that I'll have that'll be me time that I'm myself, I think. I also, even just short little things like sitting down and drinking my coffee, and I love Jesus Calling. It's always on repeat in my house. I just always read through it over and over and over. Sometimes it's just calling somebody.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is, I find I really like to move my body and do something independent. So even if it's pulling weeds or like being outside, like that's my jam. So.
Which has been a little touch and go here, right? Because the Michigan winter was nothing to write home about this year. Right. It persists into mid-April.
Won't go away.
Yeah, it won't go away. That's me too. Like I like to put some headphones in, listen to a podcast and clean the garage.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
Or, you know, work on a project or mow the lawn or something like that.
Definitely me too.
And I need it to be warmer for me to get out in the garage and like get my lawnmower going and things like that. So it's been a little bit of a struggle for me too, but yeah. But yeah, those are the same things. We all have these ways of keeping sane. And now of course it's difficult because man, for some of us, it's like we're homeschooling all day long. Like suddenly we're figuring out how to be homeschool parents.
Yep.
That's tough, right?
Yeah.
But you know, you're a teacher, you like to teach things anyway. So it probably comes a little naturally to you.
I do. And one of the things that my friends joke with me about is before this, we were considering homeschooling Sydney, and some of my friends teased that I prayed too hard in the whole COVID thing was my fault because now everybody's homeschooling. But it's been a great opportunity to just give it a whirl and see how it's going. And
yeah, like it's an opportunity in the midst of something to go, oh, well, we have this space. What do we do with this space? We can try this thing we've been thinking about, you know? Mm-hmm. Yep. For some people, it's a space of like, I'm going to pick up running on that old treadmill downstairs, you know,
that's
or
great.
I'm going to do some artwork, or I'm going to 100% some video game.
Yes.
I don't know what the opportunity is for everybody, but there's something in there, but yeah. So two questions. I asked folks to come on two questions. I'm always so curious because I've never once had somebody ask me a question that I'm like, oh, people just asked me the same thing just a minute ago. There's so many questions that are out there and people are good. So I'm curious to hear what yours are. So let's get into it.
Sure. Well, at first I was like, you know, like coming up with a question. And then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, what about this? Or what about this? So it's hard to
So all of a sudden you had a ton.
Yeah, I did. So I have to like wean it down. So
pick your best ones, I suppose.
I am. I asked my Scott his opinion of the best ones too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, this is a group effort. Okay.
Yeah, group effort. So I often hear you speak of being uncomfortable or being vulnerable with people, but honestly, I feel like you seem very unrattleable. So
no.
I want to know what makes you really uncomfortable, like what types of people or situations or topics, like what makes you like get uncomfortable?
Wow. See, this is what I'm saying. That's a good question. I don't know. Well, I would say the things that tend to rattle me the most are exactly what you just did. You seem like you're this, Scott. And then I go down a rabbit hole in my brain of going, am I like that? That's not what I don't know if I feel like that. What am I projecting to people? How do people view me? Right? Like,
unrattleable is not a negative. Like, I don't think you're like stone cold. Like, no, I just,
okay, good. That helps.
Yeah. No, it's not a negative thing. I just think that either you're really good at deflecting or there's not a lot that you're like, ooh, like I don't want to go there.
I don't, you know, honestly, there's not a lot that I'm unwilling to go there with. Okay. Right. Like in terms of the way you framed it that way, I'm pretty willing to have a conversation about just about anything. You know, like I honestly don't mind hard conversations. I mean, the place I probably are the hardest are in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's that person who sees everything about you anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of live in a little bit of a self-imposed fog of like, yeah, but I'm okay. They don't see that. Or like, yeah, mm-hmm. they do. They just love you and to not talk about it all the time.
Right.
I think the thing that has always been true for me is the moment I feel like somebody saw something in me that either I was hoping they didn't see, or that I just was unaware that was on display. Like that's where I feel the most vulnerable. That's in a negative way. Like I get scared. Like, and it's silly to think that because I have a lot of people around me that have been around me for a really long time. And I'm like, man, if you guys, I am kind of what you see is what you get. Like I'm not hiding much, but I have junk inside of me too.
Right.
And so when you see that and call that out and often it'll come like, yeah, well, you're this kind of person, you know? And I'm like, that's the phrase that really gets me because I'm like, yeah, but I think I knew that and I was hoping you didn't know that.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Because that's not a part of me that I like, you know, or that's a part of me that you probably might view as negative. And I'm like, I want people to like me. Like at the end of the day, that's what it is. I don't want people to like me or really not like me and just be one or the other.
Well, I really like you.
Oh, great. So that's the camp you fall into.
Right.
I like you too, so.
And honestly, it's funny that you spin that as a negative thing because I guess like there was this one question that we had at the dinner table. We have these cute cards that we ask with our kids and it was like, if you could have a superpower, like what would it be? And mine was, I don't want my emotions to take over me. Like I wish that I could, you know, like have a little bit more of that unrattable, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So I could see your perspective, but from like, I'll just share a little bit from a guy who's like that description, nobody can see this, but you moved your hand in sort of the even keel motion off the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you might, that's how you might think of me, right?
Yeah.
For a person who's lived his life where people have experienced that of him, Oftentimes what that can be read as, he's not emotionally accessible to me.
Okay.
Right? Like, he's not available to me. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of my life, that was absolutely true.
Okay.
Right? Like, that's why I got to go to a therapist and you got to go
through things
and hard conversations and figure out, oh, I got to be more in touch with what's going on inside of me. So it's not like I am withholding that from people. Mm-hmm. It's just I have had to work really hard to learn the tools that expressing those things, that the low, the high of the emotional spectrum, connects me to people rather than pushes people away.
Okay.
And I think I spent a lot of my life feeling like it was going to be the opposite.
Okay. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like I learned these tools of, we all have them, of emotional preservation, right? Like, what's going to make us not get hurt? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just like, okay, well, don't let be vulnerable enough for people to experience the higher, the emotional reality of your life. Mm-hmm. While that's not true anymore, like, I think I do share that with people on purpose. I work hard at that. I still feel like I carry this thing behind me that's just like, oh, well, Scott's just this blank page, or he's this emotionally inaccessible guy, or, you know, whatever. So that's probably why I take it as a negative. It's my knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Right?
Whereas you are like, boy, I would love to be able to do that. Do you feel like you're too much one way or the other? How does that, what do you mean by that?
I think it goes kind of like what I was talking about earlier, how I noticed that if I don't take care of myself, then it's like I'm a hot mess. Like, it's the end of the day, like, bleh. So I think I have a little bit of the same of like, I withhold, but then there's a point where I just can't anymore. And then it just comes out real ugly.
Explodes out.
Yes, real ugly. And so for me, it's more like,
are you afraid of people? Like, are you consciously afraid of people experiencing that from you? Like, even like maybe even beyond Scott, your husband, or.
Oh, you know, there are very few people that I like lose it on. That I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going to lose them in my life. Or like, you know, like that doesn't really bother me. I think it's more for me. It's like, come on, like you're an adult. Like, you got to figure this out.
You're a high expectation person, right?
I am.
Yeah, I am too. Of like, man, I just expect, like, come join us up here, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So you can get disappointed and let down by people probably pretty easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
And then that's sort of what drives some like, negative, however you react, right?
Yes, definitely. And I think kind of like hearing you talk, you had told me before that you're Enneagram 3.
Yeah.
And I relate
a lot. Which basically means I'm a performer, I'm an achiever.
Yes. But
I find my okayness and my value in you telling me, Scott, you did a good job at something. Mm-hmm. I used to joke with my wife, I'm like, sometimes, honestly, I just want you to stand out on the deck while I mow the lawn and give me a thumbs up and tell me you're doing a good job. And it's the dumbest thing in the world. But like, that's the inner craving of an achiever that. It actually is the way I connect to you is by achieving, you know. And I have also found that's not always the way it works. And so I've got to figure out other ways to do that too.
Sure.
But anyways, I interrupted you. You were
saying, no, you're fine.
You relate to that. Yeah.
I relate to that a lot. Like, I still haven't figured out what I am, what number that I am completely, because I relate to like a 1, 2, 3 and an 8. And I know that 2s can go to an 8 in stress, and the wings of a 2 are 1 and 3. Anyway, but I know for me that I'm so like outward focused that I forget to think about myself.
Yeah.
And then it's just that pot that boils, and it just boils over.
Yeah, maybe you're not a 3 like me, because I think we only think about ourselves all the time. Yeah, but I mean, I have the same sort of struggles too, of like when I'm taking care of myself, and by taking care of myself, I think I mean when I'm attending to the emotional life, the inner life of myself, however I do that. Mm-hmm. So I have to actually spend a lot of time, whether, again, it is in therapy or whether it's in silence and solitude, or like, I'm a processor and I have to do that to go, because I'm not readily clued into, oh, that's a feeling that's going on inside of me.
Yeah,
I have to like go, oh, is there a feeling going on inside of me? I wonder what that is and where did that come from? And so I have to spend a lot of time doing that. When I do it, like, I can be healthy and I can be engaged with people. And when I don't do it, I either come across as like really withdrawn, or like I'm plowing ahead to achieve something at the cost of a relationship. You know, like, you don't matter, the thing we're doing matters. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. Like, yeah. I can't help that, but I don't like that, you know. Nobody likes that, and nobody wants to experience that. So like, that's why, you know, maybe the thing that you would say is, you seem like you're even keel, is like, I'm just busy working out all those math equations in my head.
Yep.
You know, and try to go, what's the best choice I'm about to make? Is that good? You know, but so yeah, what are the math equations then that go on inside of your head?
Ooh.
You're trying to challenge that, like, am I healthy in this choice or what I'm about to do, or am I not?
Yes. I have to think about my motivations a lot. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Or is this something that my future self is going to be grateful that I did?
Oh.
I tend to volunteer a lot and want to help a lot. Yeah. And then I get overrun and then I'm a hot mess. And then what good am I to anybody?
Yeah. Because that's the danger, is I'm willing to put myself in these positions with other people. You know, like, I'm going to join this team, I'm going to help. Like, and you've done that through, like, my experience in church ministry, right? Like, I've mm-hmm. seen Leah in different ministry stuff, and I'm mm-hmm. going to also do the yoga things and connect with these people and do all mm-hmm. that. But now I'm in these positions with all these people where if I lose it, like, it's going to cost me something because they're around.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I just really try to scale back, and I have to make sure I don't do too much scaling back. Like,
so do you
withdraw.
Find yourself in the rubber band effect? Like, I get all the way into stuff and now I snap back and I have to say no.
Probably in the past, but I think my Scott's been good medicine for that, because he's more of a pump the brakes kind of, like, you know, is that something that you really want? You know?
Yeah, so yeah, he's a pretty careful decision maker, as I've experienced him. Uh-huh.
So he's been great. So I feel like he's my go-to if I'm like, should I do it or should I not? Like, if it's not a clear no, then I usually talk it out with him.
You probably then tend towards a yes all the time. Is that fair to say?
I do want to say yes to a lot of things, but if it doesn't align with my values, I don't have a hard time saying no.
Okay. Yeah. That was going to be my other question of, like, are you anxious about letting somebody down by saying no to them, or how does that work inside of your head?
If they're in my inner circle of people that I really care about, then yes, it's really hard for me to say no. But if they're not in my inner circle and it doesn't align,
you're like,
with
whatever, you guys don't matter.
You know?
You don't matter. No.
No. It's easier to say no if there's not.
Does that keep your inner circle small?
Yeah, I would say it does. I think it's kind of like a target, like anybody else. Like, there's my really close posse, and then there's, like, people outside here, and then there's, you know, there's different rings of people.
Sure, yeah.
But I would say my inner circle is pretty tight.
Huh. And do you like it that way?
I do.
Or do you wish it was bigger?
I'm okay with it being somewhat small, because if I have to trust people a lot. So if I need to talk to someone about something serious, it's going to be one of those people. And it's not like, who should I talk to? It's like, I know who I'm going to talk to.
Yeah. 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 See, I think though, this is not my brain talking, it's just my inner heart talking of, like, I just want everybody in the inner circle all the time,
yeah.
You know? Yep. And it's like, but then I also, once they're in there, I'm like so stinking afraid of of how they might see me when they're in there. So I'm like, never mind.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I'm a mess. So thanks for that question. What's your next question?
We're all messes. Maybe this one's a little more gentle.
Okay, thank you.
So one of the biggest blessings I think that we've experienced at Jamestown Harbor was being in a huddle.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we talk about missing is having the weekly accountability of someone saying, how is God speaking to you? Or what is God saying to you? So my question for you is, in what ways does God speak to you? Like, what avenues do you have, like, reoccurring things that you feel like that's the way God speaks to you?
Yeah. I do have reoccurring ones, for sure. I think, honestly, like, I lead discipleship huddles a lot, and Cindy and I have always, from the very beginning of starting the church, have been like, we need a people in our living room while we're doing this ministry stuff too. Because, like, in my particular role, there's a lot of people who feel like they, like might want to be connected to me, and I can't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I would love to, like, it's just, I'm going to do a bad job at that. And at the end of the day, that's my fear, of like, I'm going to do a bad job at something. But so we've always said, like, we need a people that we're a part of, that we're helping to shape and disciple. And that in particular is one way in which I feel like God speaks to me. Okay. Is as I'm in a group of people or in a conversation with people, is I try to listen to what he's saying in our conversation. Mm-hmm. And it usually happens after the fact, that I hear what he's saying kind of after we're all done. I'm like, and I reflect on that conversation. So that's one way. Honestly, the way that comes most is through a lot of stillness. Like, I will get, this is going to sound silly, but like, it feels like lightning bolts of inspiration sometimes. And I don't mean like artistic, because I'm not that way. Like, I'm not like, let me go paint a picture. Like, as strange as it is, it's almost like organizational structure, like inspiration sometimes, where I feel like God speaks to me in some ways in my leadership of, well, if this was over here and this was over here, what would happen if we connect those? And then, and then that just like sprouts into something else. So I hear that a lot. Just if I'm attentive enough and I wait long enough, because I want to move pretty fast.
Yeah.
I would love to move, like make decisions. And I'm a pretty decisive person, for better and for worse. But I find myself learning more and more to go, that is a decision that needs to get made. And let me just keep talking about it. Mm-hmm. And let me just keep hearing and listening. And eventually, like, I 100% know for a fact, every single time I'm in an anxious place and there's a decision that needs to get made, if I wait long enough, if I ask long enough, like, I'll have something really good that God will say, here it is. Mm-hmm. And it might feel like genius to me and like total, like, yeah, of course. I had this conversation with Cindy this week. I'm like, I have this idea that I feel like, as we're talking about, how do we kind of emerge out of COVID-19 and what does that look like for our church? I'm like, here's an idea. And she's like, yeah, that's kind of a well, duh idea. And I'm like, yes, I know the ideas, but how we're going to go about it, like, like that sort of thing. So that, and then, so those are two things, just in people. And then I think in particular conversations, there are particular people where I will say, I need you to help me, like coach me on this, or help me, I'm stuck on this, or I'm feeling this. That's what I've been doing a lot more over the last few years. Like, hey, like my friend Tanner, I work with Tanner, you know, Tanner, and, like he's a guy I'll go to of like, even if we're in a meeting together, after the meeting, I'll be like, hey, I had a feeling in that meeting and I don't know where it came from. And I'm wondering, can you be someone I just talked to? And I've got another guy, Jeff, who lives in Florida, that I'll call and I'll be like, I need you to ask me good questions about a thing I'm with right now. So I try to first, like, I tend to, like, God speaks to me through problem solving, I guess is the end of the day, you know?
That's great.
And if I'm aware of internal problems inside of me and external problems, like all of that happens, like I try to, that's why I try to work problems, because I think God speaks to me in it. Mm-hmm. So, but also I get a lot of comfort. I get a lot of the emotional and like relational comfort from God just through like silence and silence and prayer time. Like even more so than reading scripture. Like I enjoy reading scripture, like for personal devotions, but I even more so enjoy just silence and solitude and prayer time. Just that's where I don't get ideas, but I feel something when I'm done, you know? So
yeah. A clearing of your mind, like the little bit of the strategy. It's like the work and rest. It's like your brain is working so hard on strategies. In order to do that, you need the rest, like to slow down and clear it.
I need plenty of space in my life. That's what I've learned, which is a real tough thing when you're a guy who likes to say yes and achieve and do things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a guy who likes to run an Ironman and, you know, like,
why
like,
not?
Likes to plant a church. And so like, I'm like you, like I will say yes to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Less to help people like I think you do and more to like, that feels like a thing I want to complete.
Yeah.
But I have got like, I do this back and forth with myself all the time around like, but if I say yes to that, the space is gone. Mm-hmm. And Nobody pats you on the back for having space in your life.
Nobody.
So when I tell people I can't make that meeting, I risk like being a jerk or seeming like I am. But I know if I just say yes, because you asked, I'm going to not have the space I need to be healthy and to hear like God speaking to me about who I am and stuff like that. So that matters to me.
And you might not get accolades for taking space, but I do think that people start to notice a difference in your demeanor and even just the level of authenticity or presence when you are with people.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I would hope.
Yeah. So, and yeah. I think to me, that's when people in my life are the most Christ-like and able to listen. I think it's because they do have space and they do have that.
I think the people I respect most in the world have all the time in the world for me when I need it.
Yep.
You know, and not like there's a couple of particular people that I know if I were to be like, hey, I need, you know, an hour phone call with you today. They'd be like, great. Just been waiting for you. Like that's how it feels, you know, that sort of thing. And so I just find a lot less value in the idol of a full calendar. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, like, I don't know who I'm showing that to. That makes people feel like, oh, Scott's doing stuff. Even though like my knee jerk, like reaction is to want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're not in a space where you're having people ask you that question, what God's saying to you all the time now, like, how do you do that?
You know,
how do you know how he's talking to you?
I think having the practice and having it be a daily practice where someone asked me for a year made me start asking myself when I didn't have somebody.
It teaches you how to do it yourself.
Yes,
right?
It teaches you the discipline of it. And it's just like,
and it is a discipline, I think,
you know, and I compare life to yoga a lot because I'm a big yoga fan.
Cause that's the thing you spend your time doing.
I do. And like, I joined a program where we practice yoga every day. And like the first year it was like, well, it has to be like an hour every day and it has to be, you know, it has to be in the studio a lot. And, you know, and the more you do it, you realize, you know, like some days aren't meant for that. And you find a way to make it a discipline to do it every day, whether it's just taking some conscious breaths for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then once it becomes a discipline, you don't have to be like, oh, I got to do that today. So that's how I feel with like, what is God saying to me? I notice when he's speaking to me, whether it's like in a conversation or even in my Jesus calling or just the things I say to my kids, sometimes I'll articulate something and be like, oh, I was supposed to hear that instead of just say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been great. And then,
I get it. The more you talk, the more you hear God's voice. Is that how it works?
No, I hear, what was the word? I said Sydney was really upset about something. And I was super tense too. And I was just like, Sydney, is there a way that you can soften right now? And I'm just like, oh crap.
Wow. I can hear a mom voice behind it.
Yes.
just like shut up and knock it off.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah. But that word, that phrase was like, oh, that was for me.
Yes. Oh, it was for me. So I have those a lot where it's when I'm teaching that I learn. You
Yeah.
know?
I think I have that experience too. Like I learn and hear a lot from God when I preach, right? And that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, as I ever teach anybody how to write sermons and stuff like that, like there's a sermon on every given text that anybody can preach. Like you can preach this and here's the things about Palm Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Or about Easter Sunday or about whatever the particular Bible story is that you can go, yeah, here's the things that you teach there. But it only makes it a sermon if it's a sermon that only I can preach, right? Because this is how I come to it, right? Mm-hmm. But I can't do that if I'm not soft and listening and like engaged, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's I mean, we hear God most when we're, I like that word. See, that's the one I'm hearing now is like soften a little bit. Because if we don't hear it, if we're not listening, it's not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. Like listening to God is not all right, let me set my watch. And for these 5 minutes, I'm going to listen to God. It actually, in my experience, never works like that.
Never. No.
Which is why the question of what is God saying to you is so important. Mm-hmm. Because until I had that question in my brain, I wouldn't have even This whole concept is weird to me.
Oh, I know. I remember the first time that Brett Beckett asked me that question. I was like, this guy is asking me this bizarre question in front of other people.
And how am I supposed to know the answer to it?
Right.
But eventually you figure out, well, there's always a really easy answer to it.
Yeah.
If I'm just like listening and paying, and by listening, I mean just even like stopping and observing what's going on inside of me, you know, during things and stuff like that. Like, wow. Yeah. Cause I think a lot of people run around and go, and we have this in our house too. Like you probably have this, like I'm sure Cindy does this with me too, of like, well, if that dude would just stop for a minute and see what he's doing and listen to what's happening, we would be like, he would learn something, but it takes us a while to learn that.
I think that the whole like Enneagram self-awareness thing, I think is huge. And that's been something that's been a part of my life like the past couple years too, is just being aware of habits. And I know that Enneagram and yoga are all about awareness and like pausing and noticing things. And so they've been great tools for me to pause, to notice things, but then also to hear God speak of like, okay, what's next? Like, what should we do about that?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other question. Like it's a two-part question. It's not only about what God is saying to me, but what am I going to do about it? Because that's what I grew up in my faith journey of going, I didn't know that second question was ever important. Because I felt like that was always just predefined for you. It's a list of rules you follow.
Yep.
But this idea that God's actually active in my life, if I'm aware of it, and my how I respond to that makes me look more like Jesus. And I'm like, oh, actually, it's really simple. It's really, I mean, it's difficult, but it's simple, right? Oh, God is speaking this to me and I should respond. What am I going to do about what he's saying? Well, those steps are what shape you, you know? So is God saying anything to you like right now about the journey that you and your family are in?
You know, we have in our parenting right now, we're just kind of going between like effort and ease of like, do we really drive these things home or do we let things go? And like the word soften comes up in my life a lot lately. So just the concept too of like, okay, what's going to matter a week from now, a month from now, a year from now? Like, is it going to matter that Sydney doesn't want to eat this or Everly doesn't want to do that? You know, like,
and the answer is probably no, it doesn't.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so being able to almost kind of like make margins, like you're talking, like have space where we're just less rigid. So then we can reserve our energy to talk about the things that are really important and to put our efforts all into that.
Yeah. I think, I think you guys are probably more intentional parents than I feel like we've ever been. And partly that's me being jealous of your ability to do that. Right.
But well, thank you.
in the midst of, and also like you do it a lot more when your kids are your age, or at least in different ways. I think like I've come to the realization with my kids in the kind of preteen and the teenage years they are, is man, I want them to be able to have experiences where they're forced to make some choices on their own, like to learn how to be self-contained a little bit and self-advocates for themselves. But also the number one thing I'm doing right now is like, I just want to keep the bridge open because as they become over the next, you know, 8 to 10 years or less than that, you know, like five to 10 years, they're going to become these like almost adults. And when that happens, they have choices.
Yes.
And they can choose to move away from me or they can choose to move towards me. And I know the things that I can do as a dad and as Scott, as a person, that will be like, that's going to make them move away from you.
Right.
If you're like, do I push that, you know? And I have to ask the exact same questions. Is this going to match? Will this keep the bridge open so that when they're 19, they're still my best friend? You know, like when they're 25, like we're still hanging out, you know, like, because I get that cannot happen too.
Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of what God is saying to us. And then also too, like, we don't have anywhere we have to be right now. So it's like, I I'm finding myself saying like, okay, back off on the things that aren't relevant so that you can focus on the things that are, whether it's like, okay, it's time to finish your food. We've all been done for half an hour, you know, or like you need to pick up.
Do you have one kid who does that all the time?
Yes.
I do too.
Yes. The other one is like, bam, done.
Well, that's
finished. Oh, yeah, me too.
I can be done with my plate before anybody is even halfway to theirs.
Same.
Yeah. But man, yeah. Well, that's a good listening in a time like this, it sounds like. Like, I mean, you know, softens the word of the day. You just
it is. Please. It's my word of the year. It really is. I picked it at the beginning of the year and it keeps coming back to me.
I picked it. Do you do that every year?
Yeah.
Oh, really? What was last year's word?
Oh,
2019. What was last year's
2019.
Word?
2019. It was grace.
Huh. Boy, those words sound very similar.
They are.
Seems like a thing you really got to be working on.
It is. It is. And I'm just too busy worried about everybody else that I don't worry about myself.
Yeah. Well, I like you. I think you're great. I think you're an amazing person and you offer a lot to the people who are around you. And I think you're better at taking care of yourself than you give yourself credit for. So.
Thank you.
So keep it up. And thanks for being a part of the conversation today.
My pleasure.
Hopefully, I might run out of friends soon and I might have to have you back
on. Yeah. So. Oh, I got my list. Here, I got it.
All right. Well, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. See ya.